Welcome to Dial M for Maple, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. Today we're recapping the mid-season finale of Season 3, Outbreak. I'm your host, AV Club Senior Editor Mara Eakin, and I'm joined, as always, by Cameron Sheets. Cameron,
hey.
Hello.
Hi. I saw you noticing my podcast title.
Yeah.
Really proud of it. Quarantines. Which, they should have just called the episode that.
I agree.
I'm going to pitch it to Netflix, I think.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Quarantines.
Be like, it's a supernatural drama.
Yeah. But it's just about hot teens and they're having sex with each other. And it's like kind of edgy because it's like maybe they have the disease and you're, oh, and it's an allegory for, I'm truly
But they're in like a
this.
Biodome type yeah. situation.
This is it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to star.
It's super like friends, effing friends. Like the circles are super incestual.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah.
That's what teens want.
Ooh, this is
quarantine.
TM.
Okay,
trademark
out for that coming in 2019.
Let's just send this podcast to the Writers Guild ASAP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into it. Well, we got to punch the ice if we didn't already. Mm-hmm. This is kind of what I was just like thinking about, you know, everyone being quarantined. And I was like, wow, if the show's really going to start doing the afterlife with Archie thing, now's the time.
Wait, so what's afterlife with Archie?
That's the zombie like comic storyline.
Oh, okay.
So I just wonder, like, who do you think actually survives a zombie apocalypse in Riverdale?
Archie.
Yeah, Reggie. Probably.
I feel like the core four definitely survives.
Yeah. I don't know.
Cheryl.
Cheryl would be good. You know who I was, like, thinking?
Kevin.
I was picturing Sheriff Keller. Just, like, ripped sleeves, like, sawed-off shotgun, like...
Over my cold, dead body!
Yeah. Bashing in zombie heads. He'd mm-hmm. be good. He'd
but
be
he
good
would be, like, the hero that eventually... Like, he'd be, like, the Hodor. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Oh,
like,
right.
The guy that would be like, run, Kevin, run!
Yeah, and then they just yeah. all attack him. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see Shaun of the Dead?
Yes.
Where they, like, tear the one woman apart.
Yeah.
Or the one guy apart. That's what's gonna happen.
I agree.
We're writing so many... We gotta get paid for this stuff. let's get in the episode. This is the mid-season finale.
I know. It was like the drama was coming hot and heavy.
Yeah. This felt epic.
No one died, Cameron.
And no one died. You know what? I saw... We'll talk about it with a name game. No one died.
Okay.
But now we got everybody all like on edge all episode, which kind of makes me happy. That...
The whole time I was like...
I know.
Huh?
I've got the reasoning for it. We'll talk about it later, though, because it comes into play later. But this episode kicks off with, the very first scene is not
I mean, the very first scene, sort of like Roberto and then Madeline had sort of teased it, like, the Vixens are back mm-hmm, this season, mm-hmm. like, how they're back this up, how fun, which is, I mean, yes, Madeline and Tony have had, Madeline and, her real name is not Tony, Vanessa Morgan have had nothing to do.
Yeah.
And they are back, and that was exciting.
They're back.
And then they all had, like, a seizure on top
Pretty
of each other, which was a beautiful shot.
Yeah, that was cool, like, the overhead, and freaky.
It's very, like, dramatic, too, like, as far as, like, if you were in that school, to have, like, every beautiful costumed cheerleader fall down at once. It would be very scary.
Yeah, it's just that wave of, like, blue and gold on the floor.
Still don't know why people are having seizures. Like, it's... They're not necessarily doing... Like, Veronica wasn't doing Fizzle Rocks.
That's my huge question. It's like, why didn't Cheryl get affected? Like, what... Why did... We know... Right. I mean, you could be like, oh, everyone is playing G&G, but, like, Veronica's not, and we know she's not.
Yeah.
Unless the show's just not showing us that, which it seems
And Hermione
wrong.
Was like, you told me, like, she wouldn't be affected by this mm-hmm. to hire him.
Yeah, which I thought that was really interesting that we're getting...
Yeah.
I mean, that is one of a few times where it's like, okay, Hermione's complicit in all of this mm-hmm. to some degree.
100%.
And it's like, yeah, so anyway, but what did Hiram do that caused that?
Yeah, like, how does it work? And, like, someone's got to be in the school, like, acting it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, are they, like, spraying these women in the face with, like, some sort of mist? You know what I mean? Why is it always women?
It is. And it's always been at the school except for when it was Betty at home.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I don't know. I think that there's some science to this that I'm like, even when we do get this explained, I don't think it's actually going to check out in the way that
maybe
they want
it was
to.
The cheerleaders because they're all synced up.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's tampon based.
What's that called? Wi-Fi? I've heard the term where everybody's never
mind. Yeah.
we don't have to talk about that, but yeah, pretty interesting. I don't know. It doesn't happen to Cheryl, but she brings Tony home.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like, their scene.
It's really good.
It is good.
She asks her to move in.
It's very cute. And then they tumble on the bed.
Yeah,
it's
let's hear it.
It's the most PG. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, T.T. Ship's fever couldn't keep me away. My four-poster bed is your four-poster bed. You can stay here for as long as you like. Even permanently?
You mean like move in with you?
I'm cuckoo bananas for you, Humphy. Won't you move in?
As long as I'm the big spoon.
It's just sweet.
It is sweet.
You know.
Like, I know you and I both know a person who watches my kids. It's like a big chony shipper. Mm-hmm. And I think when I see stuff like this, Teresa, hers her name, I'll be like, Teresa's aren't really like this.
Yeah. Because, again, they haven't had a lot to do this season.
Nothing.
And they do get cute couple moments and, like, little asides. Like, we were having a rendezvous in the tent, but this mm-hmm. is, like, this is full-on relationship stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to... We need more of this.
Speaking of relationship stuff, like Kevin and like Moose fucking going at
yeah.
it. You want to take another hit?
I have another, like this kind of comes up more, but as you see Kevin with the ROTC guys, mm-hmm. they're like, they basically seem like they're drunk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are they all on fizzy rocks and this is how they're acting?
I think so.
Okay. That was maybe. That
like,
was
why is Kevin, open-ended. My pal, Kevin, what are mm-hmm. you doing?
I
mean, I guess we know Moose is like a drug dude. Like him and Midge were doing Jingle Jangle.
Yeah, Moose is hardcore into drugs.
And I guess so Kevin cool. has done Jingle Jangle in that scene with like Nick, what's his face?
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
I
but
keep
it's
forgetting
cool
about
Kevin.
That. It's very funny to think that like there was that Jingle Jangle scene last season and this season there was the flashback with the fizzy rocks and Alice and Betty were the only two to not do the drugs mm-hmm. in both scenes. Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I still don't, there's the science to that, but like, the seizure with the vixens kind of sets at least one facet of this plot in the motion, which is like Veronica and Cheryl kind of continually teaming up to figure out
yes.
what's going on.
And it does, it sort of explains why they, no one has been worried about Betty at all.
Yeah.
Like she's like, wait, everyone had a seizure? Mm-hmm. And they were like, we thought you were at the farm.
Yeah, that was a very
that's later moment. On, yeah, but.
Yeah, but just Veronica being like, girl, what's up? Where have you been? You've missed me breaking up with my boyfriend. You've missed me pulling one over at Blackjack Night. Like, come on, friends. Keep up.
yeah, and yeah.
Well, Reggie kind of gets involved. And the Reggie's role in this is like we're happy to see Reggie, but it's kind of like he just is sharing info with Veronica that we basically already got from the last episode where he's yeah. like, it's coming out of the prison. The gargoyles are just giving it to people to get them hooked.
I do think it's interesting that we're seeing how loyal he is to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, yeah, you want to know something? I'll find out for you. Like, don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, there's... It's like, I would call it in the question, except I feel like I just, like, know that the show wants him to kind of be... Reggie's just, like, he's not going to answer to anybody but this girl that he has a crush on, probably, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
I still am, like, they're setting
it could be up. One of those things, too, that, like, always happens in teen TV shows, where he's doing this just to get into her pants. Like, he thinks, like, they'd be good together, and then, mm-hmm. like, he grows to really like her, and then, but she has a butt, you know...
He's being nice to her.
Here's the thing. I love that storyline. I love those storylines. Like, when I'm like, oh, it's so formulaic. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
More of that. At least in the first half of the episode, the Veronica and Cheryl stuff leads them to this school board meeting, which just is basically, like, the parents we know already
a meeting.
A few other anonymous people in the back. And because at this point we've had the hazmat-suited people come to the school and take the cheerleaders away... And it's like, what's going on? So the school is maybe going to be shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're deciding in this meeting. And then they storm in. And I like really, I think Alice is like comically dumb in this moment, you know?
I mean, like Majin posted this photo recently on Instagram where she's like, Totley was like four different distinct
yes.
looks for her. And she's like, talk about a chameleon or whatever. Like, that's why I love playing this character. I didn't think the looks were like wildly different from each other, like, but it is like, is she, like the farmer's making her dumb. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe in a way, like how we'll talk about this more later, but like how FP or how Hiram got Jughead out of town. Maybe the farm is his way of getting, oh my God, Alice Cooper out of the
yeah. Loop. Yeah, I mean, he could be involved in that, too. Whether
like, if she was digging around in this shit, like, it would be a story. It would be more...
The Riverdale Register is technically an enemy to the lodges because, like, you know, they're going to dig up all this dirt on them mm-hmm. if they were actually doing their job.
Did they buy the Register?
But they did. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, there's the internet. There's literally everything.
But Alice kind of gave up her job anyway.
Yeah.
But I mean, just in this moment, it's like, it feels like Cheryl says something and she turns over to Hiram and kind of nods her head like Alice does. And she's like, yeah, what about that? And then Hiram just says something back. And then she's like, well, I didn't consider that. And she looks back over the, she just is like so happy to play this like befuddled middle person role.
She's, it's like the farm has made her dumb, which is fair.
Yeah. But Veronica calls her dad out and he's like, you're right, except for the drugs. Like he's completely denying the fish.
I mean, he has a full answer for her. Like he's like, they're at the hospital. They're this, they're this. And then later on he says like, guess what? You got it right. Mm-hmm. Except for one thing. But I do really like, and I don't know if he pulled this quote. I don't necessarily think he did, where she called it Vice City.
Oh, she did call it
like
that.
The video game, like Grand Theft Auto. And I was like, yes, that's like 100% what he's doing.
It's true because, yeah, it's just at what Hermione hints at later, just like, or Sin City, I guess, too. Yeah. Just all this stuff's allowed to happen. Speaking of, or I said Hermione, I meant Penelope. But speaking of Penelope, it's like things are getting too crazy. And she looks over at Hermione and like kind of winks. And it's like, that's her cue to pass out and distract everybody. So that's like as clear a clue as any.
I totally missed that. I was like folding laundry.
Okay. Yeah. She kind of just like gives her this look and it looks like Hermione like nods at her. And it's like, that is their clear sign that they're all still
they're
working together on this thing.
Yeah. As Donald Trump would say.
Exactly. And she passes out. And the best part of this is that Cheryl kind of just like is rolling her eyes at her mom passing out.
I know. Like they're both, everyone's like, get a doctor. And Cheryl's just like,
here we go.
Like, good, die. I think like, you know, we talked last week sort of about like Veronica, like she doesn't really want Hiram to die. Yeah. Da da da. I think Cheryl will be like, get like, great, I'll dance on your grave for her mom. Do you know what I mean? Like Cheryl's, that's how you can sort of tell the difference like in their attitudes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're cool. Just, the familial thing is gone now. They're just pure enemies.
Yeah.
Which is fun. I mean, so that kind of gets us halfway point with that storyline. But obviously another big thing that's happening in this episode is the arrival at Jones Yard, the junkyard in Toledo, where Gladys and Jellybean are.
We have been waiting this for years. Mm-hmm. We've been waiting for this for years.
Years.
And it did not disappoint.
No, I love Gladys big time. I mean, starting with her like, good to see you. Here's my, well, let's play the soundbite. I really like how
I laughed out loud.
Yeah, it's very good.
Oh, so you two finally got together, huh?
I always knew there was something going on between you.
No, we're not together. We're just on the road together.
Yeah, like a romance.
Sure.
So funny.
Yeah, of course she thought that. I thought she was like, oh my God, if she like hits on Archie, ugh. But then she's like, oh, it was so cute.
Yeah, I'm so glad you guys got together.
And she's like, I always thought there was something between you guys, which is like, what did she catch them doing?
Also, she left when she was, when he was, they were like 13. So like, sure, I just like it. It's great.
It's really funny though. And we meet Jellybean too. And
JB.
And she kind of hits on Archie, which is like, okay. But she has her moment later on, which is like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But it's weird because, I mean, the show basically told us that they, like, ran away so that they could, like, avoid the serpent life. And yet here they are literally wearing serpent jackets that say Toledo Serpents on them and taking care of all these. Like, the junkyard is no different from Serpent Tent Town.
They all look like serpents, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, hawking. She's like, this is my legit business. And then he's like, hey, I got these stereos for you. And Jughead's like, Mom.
Yeah, he kind of like, why? And Lugnut is the one guy's name.
Yeah.
Lugnut has the best moment in the episode where she's like, we're going to make some food. And he goes, yeah. He's like so excited.
Like, whoa.
Yeah. I guess they just don't feed them normally.
But it could be exciting. I mean, I guess it's like a big party. It could be exciting. Like they roasted a pig. Which is, that's a lot of food.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Gina Gershon is great. I really like
so good. The I rapport. Love like welding. Like when they were like, you know what, we should put her in welding clothes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you should.
She's so, her outfits and all of this are amazing. And I just like her and Jug talking and like, I don't know. There's a little bit of like the remorse because she like kind of left him behind, but they still have that relationship.
And they don't really address it because he's like, yeah. She's like, why didn't you tell me you were coming? He's like, because last time you said I couldn't come.
Yeah. And she reacts to that in a way that I'm like, is there more there, actually, or is this just brushing off the fact that...
I am nervous. Like, we can talk about this a little more later, but, oh, like, yeah. I... Well, and two things. One, I hope this isn't the last time we see Gina Gershon and Jellybean. I suspect it may not be. Two, something seems like a little hinky. Like, she's like, oh, hey, guys. Like, she's certainly helping them. Like, she calls Fred Andrews. Like, she's feeding them. She's like, of course you can stay here. Like, it's nice to see you. But then also, like, I don't know, man. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Is she really helping them, or is she...
I didn't think about that, but yeah, maybe what they're doing is somehow... Maybe they're caught in the giant Hiram web, too. I mean, Toledo's pretty far from wherever Riverdale is.
Maybe she owes someone something.
Yeah. Because it's, like, obviously purposely vague to the plot. I mean, this is jumping ahead just a little, but Penny shows up, and, and that's when Jellybean knocks her out with a slingshot, which is great.
Yeah, and then she threatens her with a knife, doing that thing that women do when they have knives in movies, which is, like, the,
pet the hair.
Yeah. I was like, okay. And then... And then she's like, everyone get out of here. I got business to take care of. And then, like, you never see what happens to Penny.
Which is, like,
she
on one
disappears.
End, would be really violent for the show to show that. But we also have no clue
that she didn't just let her go.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Would be interesting if they were pals. I mean, I could see that. I was like,
although she does call her, like, coin slot or something like that. And I was like, ugh.
Oof.
Penny, she calls her Penny Slot.
Oh, Penny Slot.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, pretty interesting. I had not considered all of that. The other thing, I mean, jumping into the other thread through the episode, is just we're, you know, we're back at Sisters of Quiet Mercy with Betty.
So here's the question: Was Betty faking it the first time?
I don't know. I think that maybe she had just had a lot of fizzy rocks. And they were, like, really fucked her up temporarily.
So maybe the first time, like, fucked her up, and then she was, like, not letting this happen again.
Yeah.
Like, next time when they give me the fizzy rocks, I'm going to go to the bathroom and barf them up. Like.
Yeah.
And then, like, figured out what was going on. Like, oh, there was never a Gargoyle King in the room.
Right,
blah, blah,
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
It definitely felt like one of those, like, last episode's ending felt like one of those endings that I feel like the show's done a ton of this season where they have some big dramatic thing, and then... you backpedal a little, like Jughead being super crazy at the end of the game. Well, he's not fully gone yet, as gone as they make it seem at the end of the episode. Betty's not fully a Sisters of Quiet Mercy zombie yet.
Yeah, she's just like messing up her hair.
Yeah. And Alice shows up. There's that really great shot where there's the cross in between them. And I feel like it's supposed to look like the visiting hours in like a prison almost, because it's like the wall. But I don't know. She's just kind of like, okay, I know what I need to do.
For the listeners of this podcast, Cameron pulls the quotes and picks the quotes. I am surprised you didn't pull the one. She's like, he said, I'm his favorite.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, the where Ethel's like, what?
I should
It's a little bit long. It's like a minute long.
That, and also I felt like we got, like, a lot of those from the last episode. So I was like, oh, we know. Like, this is amazing. I love Betty, like, being bitchy to Ethel, but...
I know. But, like, in the sense, it is, like, she... I like what happens between Betty and Ethel here because she's like, no, like, I'm going to fix you. Instead of just being like, get fucked, Ethel. You're you're stuck here now. Like, with the nerd, with the nuns. You know? Like, it's, no, I need your help.
Yeah, it's nice to see them working together. And I'm going to get it the first time. Shannon Purser is really great. Like, she comes into the room after she's been spooked by the Gargoyle King statue. And
which
she's
is
like,
not scary at all. And no. I know that, like, that's the point. But, like... there's not even, like, sticks on it.
Yeah. But she's on edge, and it's, I don't know. It allows them to get to this point where they're like, okay, we're in this together. You kind of understand what's happening now.
And, like,
let's
need
get
you
out.
And you need me.
That's the halfway point of the ep, essentially. Let's take a break.
Let's.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are back.
We're back.
Yeah. We talked about Betty as the Griffin Queen mm-hmm. very briefly. I mean, I guess we're going to talk more about her, but I just wanted to say she looked great at the end.
She looks amazing. No, we can talk about it now. Basically, I was thinking we were going, I think there's a scene or two in between, but basically we go from a scene of someone being tied up to a scene of another person being tied up to both Penny, Sister Woodhouse, and Penelope are all tied up in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Like figures of authority mm-hmm. versus young peeps.
And all women.
Mm-hmm. This episode's pretty women-y.
Yeah, totally.
Like strong women, the episode.
Cheryl and Veronica take charge.
Yeah. You got JB and Gladys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, Penelope showing up. You got Betty and Ethel, yeah.
The Betty stuff, well, as we were just talking about, like, Betty gets Ethel kind of her side of things, and they're like, she uses her to create a distraction so that they can get to Sister Woodhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And they tie her up and bring her into that room. And I mean, she gives us interesting information that doesn't really answer anything. But
yeah, she does do the thing that people do in television shows and movies where it's like, tell me what the plan is. Mm. And they're like, no. And tell me what the plan is. And they're like, here's the whole thing.
The whole plan is this.
Like, no, fucking Penelope or Sister Woodhouse. Like, don't tell anybody. Yeah. Like,
yeah. People gave in too easily.
Yeah. Like, why would Penelope give it? I mean, I guess the syrup, the cheap syrup.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But she says that it was like some of the, there are certain patients, the more disturbed of the patients started this game, like all based around the statue that's just been in this place.
And it was never supposed to leave the facility.
And they just used it, which is a terrible thing. But of course they did to like keep people in submission,
mm-hmm.
that game and everything. But yeah, it eventually got out. So the whole Gargoyle King thing was started way back when
mm-hmm.
Fizzy Rocks and everything else came in later. But they play into each other because Fizzy Rocks is also
a hallucinogen.
About, like, yeah, making people freak out.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of in Batman Begins, the mm-hmm. Christian Bale, your good friend Christian Bale, mm-hmm. Batman, the Scarecrow uses that, like, gas that makes people have these visions that make mm-hmm. everything more scary than they are. Because it's like, that's a burlap sack on his head, but Batman envisions it as this creature.
Yeah, it's like ants or like bees or whatever.
Yeah, so.
I mean, there must be, like, maybe that's what Hiram is doing, is sort uh-huh. of testing the levels. Like, this much gets you high,
mm-hmm.
this much makes you, like, tear your eyes out.
Yeah.
Do you know
and
what
this
I mean?
One, maybe you start seizing up and, like, fall over. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what's happening, I think.
Or, like, the potency of batches or, like,
yeah,
it's like some Breaking Bad shit.
So that's pretty interesting, I think. And then, yeah, they leave her in there. And I also had to mention, they leave her in there and you hear her muffled screams from behind a wall. And she's just going, help, help. And it sounds like an Amy Sedaris character to me. Just wanted to point that out. Specifically in Broad... I don't need to get in that tangent. I just get so excited sometimes.
She's like the real estate agent?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of where that... They then have her locked up and she's out of the way. And then they decide to play this game with the other patients. Mm-hmm. And
which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I love the one other patient with the speaking role.
Mm-hmm.
With her like short... like. She looks like a mental patient.
Innocent little lamb.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's been through some shit.
But she looks like a 60s, like
mm-hmm.
like she's in Girl Interrupted or something.
Yeah,
you know what
definitely.
I mean?
Definitely.
I love it.
But the game, it works. I mean, because, yeah, Betty shows up in that killer Griffin Queen
they
outfit.
They are easily suggestible. Mm-hmm. And, like, rolls the head around the ground, across the ground. How they got that off?
Don't know.
Stone. They must have access to tools now that they have the Sister Woodhouse's keys.
Keys, right. And they get out, and then they run into Alice,
mm-hmm.
which I think it's more speculation boost stuff. We'll come to that later.
Well, she came to get Betty,
yeah.
And, like, obviously she's taking Betty, and she'll But then, like, where? She, Betty's like, well, it's more than just me now. Like, are they all going to live with Betty? Are they all, maybe they all go to the farm?
That's kind of what I was
like. But that's also like, oh, don't take a bunch of mentally susceptible girls to the farm.
Recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how they get there is really anyone's guess. Just like in shuttles. Right. In Allison's station wagon.
She can fit.
Climb in the back. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like people that are riding the way back, like when you're kids.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where that leads. I mean, as you mentioned mm-hmm. before, Veronica and Hiram talk and he congratulates her. Actually, let's hear that soundbite.
I wanted to commend you. The gusto you showed in that meeting, that was audacious. Congratulations.
On what?
On being right about all of it. Well, at least most of it. I mean, it's so much bigger than you're giving me credit for. This plan, what's coming next, is practically biblical. Years in the making.
What is it? What do you really want, Daddy?
What every king wants. A kingdom. And a legacy.
The thing about seeing her in pearls is real creepy.
Yeah, very suggestive. I did not like that.
No, I didn't like it at all. Like, is he gonna, like, it feels like he's gonna, like, brainwash her or something.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know. Apocalyptic, I'm like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And it still is not enough for her, so she and Cheryl decide to go tie up Penelope and douse her in maple syrup.
Which is so funny. Like, it could have been water, but no, they went with syrup.
Yeah. I remember seeing a snippet of that from the teaser, and I was like, oh, this is just like a... Because she's, like, licking her lips, which is, like, mm-hmm. syrup, sure, but it just did not expect her to be...
so gross, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure it wasn't maple syrup, but to get that consistency, mm-hmm. it had to be mm-hmm. something awful.
Yeah, because you see it kind of, like, glop down
it's
her
like
face.
Like corn syrup or something.
So, props again to Natalie Bolt. Yeah. Always doing a great job as Penelope. Mm-hmm. Really committed if she's just going to let him dunk her in mm-hmm. syrup.
So... the other thing I wanted to say, I mean, I'll come back to that. We got to get to Speculation Booth for me to really get
okay,
into this.
Okay. But yeah, she basically, as we talked about the whole Vice City thing, she's like, the plan is mm-hmm. let the town become this like hub of gambling and prostitution and drug yeah. use for money purposes.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you also have Jughead and Archie, like FP yeah. and Fred come to get them at the junkyard. It's like, oh my God, it's Fred. How exciting. But are they really there with good intentions, or are they just, like, getting them out of town, too?
Yeah, I think that they're there for good intentions, but it does make me wonder what's... Mm-hmm. I mean, again,
maybe
the whole Gladys
called
thing.
Them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jellybean is
now
not
happy to see her dad. Now FP's out, too, yeah. Both the Serpent Kings.
So Fred helps Archie get to the border, and Archie dyes his hair to KJ's natural color. Uh-huh. I was surprised there wasn't, like, a meta line from Fred about that. Like, looks pretty natural on there or something, but, yeah, next time. And he gives him Vegas, so.
Which makes no sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nice for him to have a dog, but, like, having a dog on the road is not an easy task.
No,
don't give him
not.
The dog.
No, he's going to have another mouth to feed. And
yeah,
he's,
another
like,
mouth to feed. It's like, I always, like, when I see, like, crust punks with dogs, I'm sure they're very, very nice to the dogs, but I'm always like, oh, that's a bummer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's sad to see. I'm like, oh, that poor thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and FP tries to take Jughead back, but it's
the one road into town they can't get through. I kind of want to see them like off-roading on their motorcycles next week, like or not next week, next year, like like they're going like through like trail riding, mm-hmm. basically, getting back into town. I'm sure they'll get back somehow.
Yeah, they don't have it all squared off, but mm-hmm. They can't because Hermione had already made this call, which I guess was to the governor, maybe. To get him to agree to quarantine the city. I don't know why he's in their pocket, but mm-hmm. Hermione seems a little drunk.
Yeah, something's weird.
Yeah, I think so too. Speculation.
Maybe she's on Fizzle Rocks. Mm-hmm. And then Hiram's like, thank you. And then you have heard that he sees the Black Hood. I think you meant.
Oh, I definitely meant Gargoyle King, but.
It was Gargoyle King. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, whoa, what did I miss? Yeah. Because again, I was holding laundry.
You missed the post credit sequence where Hal shows up. No, yeah, Gargoyle King. And it could, you wouldn't even see it move. It doesn't do its classic dramatic turnaround. Maybe it's just the costume set up in his office.
I kind of wondered that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he's envisioning it too and he's gone and we have
he
no
could be
idea.
High on his own supply.
Huh, it happens.
Mm-hmm. We should go to the break.
Yeah.
With this delightful soundbite that you pulled.
Yeah, it's the closing VO from Jug. Always dramatic.
I love it. Let's listen to this, and we'll come back from our break.
And just like that, in a few frantic moments, the town we'd known all our lives was once again changed. But this time, irrevocably. It was time for us to brace for a terrible impact. And while Archie Andrews headed away from the doomed town of Riverdale, we raced towards it. For that night was the fruition of a game that had been planned for and played across the years.
All right, we are back. Cameron, did you like it? What'd you think?
I really liked it. I wrote that I think it's like, I know, it's intriguing for what's next. I also think it just feels like epic and these big things are happening, but it's not over serious. Like, this is kind of campy and kooky and,
yeah,
like the whole town getting quarantined is nuts.
Do you think it's hilarious that it's like Vice City? Like, yeah, that it is like, oh, you're, if you've seen the new Wreck-It Ralph, there's also like the video game and the internet video game, and mm-hmm. that movie also takes place in this place. It's called like Death Race, you know, mm-hmm. town or whatever. And it's just like burning fucking fast food places.
On fire, yeah.
Like something very anti, like Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of like pop culture touch points for, like, I think of like Escape from New York, where the yes. whole town is turned into like
yeah.
the prison, this
and
weird.
And it's like, if you're going to come to a town for like anything bad, mm-hmm. I guess. It is crazy that Hiram decided to turn this like idyllic place into like a hellscape.
Yeah.
Rather than just like finding a hellscape, something that was slated closer to a hellscape and making it worse. But yeah. hey, whatever gets seen through, whatever gets done.
Right. Wasn't there just like empty property somewhere that it could have built on instead of like mm-hmm. Penelope refers to it as a backwater town, but it's like, I mean, sure. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Commenter X sample 2.
Oh.
Sample 2.
I threw this in here from the other week just because I thought it was an interesting thing. Somebody commented on LaToya's last Riverdale review and was like talking about their role for Riverdale. And they said, when the show makes kid stuff into something adult, like Dungeons and Dragons, that's addictive and dangerous, it's entertaining. But when the show makes something adult into kid stuff, like Veronica joining the mafia and opening a speakeasy for teenagers, it's deeply stupid. Which I think is a pretty interesting read of the
yeah,
show. And it does kind of tie into like when we're like, that didn't really work for me. And it's like, because it's like, we don't buy that these teens are doing these things.
No, it's crazy.
Yeah, interesting read of the situation for sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That's kind of what I had about the episode. But I thought this was pretty strong. And it's like, yeah, this has been a fun first half of the season. We don't know how many episodes there are going to be. It still has not been made official. But
oh, really?
Yeah. Like, this could truly
it's gonna be like 22, point. 23. You know what I mean? Probably,
yeah,
if I had to like guess. It's not going to be like 30.
No.
Yeah.
22 at most, like last season.
Yeah.
Let's go to the speculation booth.
Yeah, let's pop a squat in the speculation booth.
We definitely asked this already. I'm obviously very confused by why Cheryl wasn't infected and all the other vixens were.
The seizure thing, I feel like we're going to find out the explanation for that, and it's still not going to make any sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. It's like, okay,
like,
but logistically...
Okay.
But
we're just going to let that go.
Like, I don't know. This kind of ties into... It's like, is that fizzy rocks then, or is that a different mm-hmm. thing?
I think it's something else. Like how did Josie have one? Do you
yeah,
know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I think it's like an atomizer or something weird.
Some like just really tiny
yeah.
particles in the air.
Yeah.
Again, back to the Scarecrow's plan in Batman Begins.
Yes, exactly.
It's probably the exact same mm-hmm. thing. It is really similar to that, the more I think about it. Well, I also had a thought too, and we already mentioned like Hermione seeming fishy and kind of wasted at the end when she made that call.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like got a glass of whiskey in her hand. And we know, or bourbon. And we know that there was earlier in the season, we saw Archie in the prison with a Lodge label bottle of bourbon. Mm-hmm. So like, what if he's also putting drugs in? It's like you got candy for the kids and you've got alcohol for the adults, and he's going to control everybody with that.
That makes sense.
Just makes them more susceptible to suggestion and fear.
Yeah.
And so he's using that on Hermione?
I think he could find a gajillion ways to dose Hermione.
Sure.
That aren't, yeah.
I just thought it was notable that she had that. She was drunk there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Is she... I mean, also about Hermione, it's like, this is the group of bad guys, the Legion of Doom, essentially working together.
Yeah.
Does Hermione know about like what's going on
fully? I feel like she does. Although I did, you know, last week we're like, maybe this is Hermione. Like, maybe Hermione's pulling all the strings. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily think she is.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, we read that LaToya theory the other week, and it's like, I kind of, like, was buying into it.
But I don't think Hermione wants to live in, like, a danger zone.
No.
Like, she just doesn't seem like the type of person that'd be like, yep, here I am, like, on the living in the pen, you know, in, like, a penthouse when, like, the streets are dark all the time. And
yeah. I mean, they left New York to come to Riverdale, but maybe she's been in on the plan the whole time. I mean, Hiram does say it's been, like, years in the making or something.
What does he have on her besides, like...
I don't know.
Marriage.
Well, I have another kind of theory in that, like Sister Woodhouse talking about some people in the home, the more disturbed ones creating this game.
Mm-hmm. What if
young Hermione was there since her family was so Catholic?
That's true.
I don't know. And what if she was one of the people that created the game and then like pretended to...
Or maybe she went, like when they found out she was dating Hiram, like they sent her there.
Yeah, that could be it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, like, brings it there. Yeah, it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
That was before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, I don't know, where'd the game come from? How'd the game end up at school?
Yeah.
It was just a thought, because of her background, like, getting specific mention and us not really having heard anything about it before. Mm-hmm. But she also could have been the one that, like, maybe she did have Featherhead drink the cup, and Hiram's been, like, holding that against her the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Were there other episode questions that you felt?
I mean, you said what'd she do to Penny. We sort of already talked about this.
Yeah.
I think Penny made it out alive and fine. And yeah. She just like sent a message back with Penny.
Pretty unceremonious if that's like actually the way she went.
Cause like, what if FP knows that Gladys is like bad news? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And is just like, didn't tell Jug because like, that's crazy. Right. Like you don't want to like ruin your kid.
He didn't really want
to. But then he left JB go. I don't know. You know, it's weird.
Pretty interesting.
Maybe she's great.
She could be great. I don't think she's bad, but there's just something.
I would have to go look hidden. And see like how many, because usually it's like she's going to appear in a 3-episode arc or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when they announce. Here, I'll look right now.
Okay.
While you tell me about the name game.
Well, yeah, for sure. We should talk the name game because the first episode of the new year is called No Exit, which is like this, it's been around for a while, this like existential play about these people trapped in this room, and it's kind of like they don't know why, but it's eventually revealed that the room is like the afterlife, like these characters are dead. And this is the play No Exit where the line "Hell is other people" comes from. Mm-hmm. So I mean, the episode having that name is kind of like No Exit because you literally can't exit the town. I don't think it's going to have anything more to do with the afterlife, but it did make me think about zombies again.
No, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
It does not say how many eps she's going to be on. God damn it.
Well, again, as I mentioned, we knew that she was in the writer's room, like, more recently than they would have filmed her part. So it's like, yeah. I think she's got more coming.
She's coming back. I mean, it might not be next up, but it could be six up for some now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. The other thing about that No Exit episode is, this is what I mentioned, is that Roberto's tweet when he had the production script cover for this, he said, this is the ep where he says life goes on for most of our series regulars. So I think this is what LaToya was referring to.
I mean, who dies? That's so crazy.
I don't know.
Who could it possibly be?
So mysterious. It feels insane to think that it's a series regular. Because
like, who could even, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Who could they like afford to lose?
I mean, at this point, we've had Minetta and Penny just kind of like mysteriously drop off.
But they're not really season regs.
Yeah, they're not.
Regs.
But I'm just saying it like kind of stands to reason that maybe it's another bad guy.
Yeah. Because like, it's always a big deal when someone becomes a series regular. Like, then you're dealing with like your people who are at Paley Fest or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's hope
like
it's
Pops
not.
Isn't a series regular. Like, Pops is like a guest star.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. So it's series regular. That really limits it. Like, I don't technically know who is, but it's like the core four. Tony, Cheryl, Josie,
and Kevin,
and then maybe some of the parents, Alice and Fred, and FP, maybe.
I don't even know if Penelope is part of the series regular.
Well, we'll look into that. That's really interesting.
I guess that means Nana Rose is safe.
Phew. Thank God. Yeah.
Assuming he means series regular, like capital S, capital R. You know what I mean? Like, versus like someone we see frequently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pretty specific choice of words, but it may be just because he's a TV guy, and that's like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or does he mean it for a reason?
I hope it's not Fred.
That's what I was like, oh my God. Well, that would get Archie to come back. Archie
comes back, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's really sad.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why you gave him the dogs. They don't want the dog to die. Anyways.
Oh God.
Let's take a break on that uplifting note, and we'll come back and do some Blue and Gold.
Sounds good.
Are back with the latest edition of the Blue and Gold, where we talk about our favorite Riverdale adjacent fan moments every week, from the cast, the fans, and beyond. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm gonna go first, Cam.
Oh, go for it.
Mine is let me look it up right now, which probably means I shouldn't have gone first. but mine is a bunch of the cast went to the GQ Men of the Year Awards.
Yeah.
And but not everybody, because either they weren't invited or they couldn't get out of shooting.
Yeah.
So KJ, you know, they all posted photos like Kevin had Casey Cott had like a tone on tone gray kind of turtleneck blazer thing, which I really enjoyed. Looked a very nice. Hot, very appropriate look. Mm-hmm. Cole Sprouse was also wearing a turtleneck and a blazer.
Right,
also looked great. And KJ Apa posted a photo that he says, lots of fun at the GQ Men of the Year party. Cheers for having me, guys. Styled by myself and IMA Murray. And then he did all the tags. And it's him getting his hair dyed with like a bag on his head. And he has sunglasses and a robe. And then his hands are taped up like he's boxing.
Oh.
So I'm wondering if he's back street fighting.
Oh, geez.
And he's getting his hair dyed. Huh. And I can't really tell from the photo if he's getting it dyed back to red or back to brown, or they're like rinsing it brown.
Either way, I do again like that he dyed his hair in this episode, because as we mentioned before, it's like you're not being very incognito if you're running around town with your blazing red hair.
Yeah.
I
recognize that rooster top.
Yeah, right. That's what Gladys said. Mm-hmm. Very funny. Yeah, they all look good. I saw a lot of those photos.
Yeah.
I love when people dress up.
I just love when they do like winky, like.
Oh, yeah.
Like, or like when he'll post like a bad photo of Casey Cott.
Uh-huh.
I'm always like, I enjoy this. and what's yours?
There was a couple things I wanted to mention. The one feels like it's more for me than anything is that I have confirmed through my roommate, Lucy, that Jenny Britton Bauer of Jenny's Ice Cream fame, I don't know if everybody knows that.
It's really good ice cream,
but it's
guys.
Good ice cream.
You can order it.
She's a huge, she's a Sabrina fan and Kiernan Shipka fan. And you can like see in comments on Instagram where they'll like talk to each other on Instagram. And she'll be like, we're really enjoying Sabrina. Keep up the good work. And she's like, and Kiernan will be like, thanks so much. This is my favorite ice cream. I love you. You're my hero. It's very, very cute to see.
I do like it.
Another thing I wanted to mention was Casey had tweeted a photo of his Starbucks order, which was like an iced coffee cup, and it just says Ben on the side, and he said not even in the ballpark, to which I responded with a photo of Ben Button, our Riverdale character. He didn't acknowledge it, but it got a lot of likes. I thought that
this
was great.
This is why if you like the show, you should follow our Twitter. That's
Please.
What I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. And here's another reason why is because... Well, no, not just ours, but I also wanted to shout out this Twitter account. It's called No Context Riverdale, which I've seen more and more for different like properties that people really like, where all it is they're pulling scenes from the show with like you have the dialogue at the bottom. So there's a lot of like, you know, just shots from the show. And it's just kind of funny to see some of these things out of context. Like they're funny in and of itself without context, but I also just am now like dipping into those to use for different tweets. So I have to give them a shout out. There's the one, I just used one where Ethel's saying we're going to be a ship for a pretty good Twitter joke with that one for Maple. Guess I'm just plugging myself again, but thank you, No Context Riverdale, whoever runs that. I don't know if you listen, but I'm a fan.
It does seem, speaking of fan stuff, that we are going to end up doing that book club.
Yeah.
We've at least had like a few people say that they're into it, which is, you know, not all of our listeners. we do have more than a few listeners. But if people are into it, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
I think we should do it. Even if it's just like a mini app that you listen to or you don't.
Yeah, definitely. Right. It'll come out. I mean, we'll have some time before the show comes back.
Mm-hmm.
We already talked about which book. Oh, I forget what the day before. What is that Riverdale book called from Scholastic?
It's called like the day before. Just look up Riverdale book or Riverdale novel or something on Amazon.
We'll tweet out a link to it. so that you guys know.
You could probably even get it from your library. Well, probably not, honestly.
I don't know. Maybe. I haven't been to a library in a minute.
I have, but like your library would have to bring it in. It's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe.
But yeah, keep an eye out for that. I mean, good thing to tease because, yeah, this is the last Riverdale before the end of the year. And, you know, that also means that we've gone a full year with Dialing for Maple in our life. I mean, more than that because we started beginning of season two. But, like, crazy to think that all of 2018 has been peppered with us being like, when are we going to get that screener? But it's been
we're that spoiled. Yeah. We're like, oh, I can't possibly wait.
So spoiled. But it's all because we like to have this out the next day.
And it's because of you guys. Yeah.
And so thanks for listening. You're our special little holiday gift.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love it. We're your elves.
That's it, though. That's the year. It's been a fun year.
Ugh, last year's, I was just thinking about last year's Riverdale holiday episode where like Jughead and Betty were broken up, remember?
Oh, geez.
And they gave each other presents and they were like the perfect presents, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
I also missed the trees and Vic.
I know, but I really appreciate everyone listening. Mm-hmm. And I am sad that we will not get a Pussycats Christmas song this year. But I guess, you know, never say never.
We could. Yeah, there could be a special.
We'll do like a special mini.
We are getting a Sabrina Christmas one. Episode, which is going to be fun.
And the trailer's out and it looks pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very excited for that. But yeah. Thanks, everyone. It's been great.
Yeah. Guys, Dial M for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood and our engineer is Leo Garcia. The show is hosted by me, Mara Egan, and Cameron Cheats. If you like the show, tell your friends that you can find us anywhere, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and basically anywhere you can get podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at Dial M for Maple.
Which we plug all the time.
I know. Do you remember it? I'm like, should we have an Instagram? Oh, it's like a whole thing.
Be my whole life. Which is fine.
thanks, you guys, and we'll see you in 2019. Happy holidays and a happy new year.
Bye-bye, Bulldogs.